Thanks for joining us today. We want to hear how God is using our ministry to make a difference in your life today. Send your story to mystory@oceansunite.com. And we also want to say that if you are encouraged and you want to partner with our ministry, go to oceansunite.com, select the giving option that best suits you. And we want to thank you for your participation, and we want to bless you.
So I'm excited about what God is doing here at Oceans and, you know, going on this journey with so many of you. And this week, I want to go into a subject that I think is important for us to understand. Because one of the things that we struggle with as believers is understanding how we stand in Christ. And understanding, you know, sort of almost like putting pressure on ourselves because we're not quite sure, you know, how we even doing, if that kind of makes sense. You know, so I want to show you something. Many people, most people, you know, kind of base their desires, their happiness, what they want on things, natural things. Many people want fame. Many people want money, riches. It's not bad to want these things, but the almost becomes like their drive becomes for success or for finances or for you know, for fame or, you know, something like that. Your desire, your deep desire, your longing is for those things because you believe that those are the things that will actually make life better. We believe that by maybe if I just have a little bit more money, or if I can just do one more deal, it'll be better. And, you know, if I just have a little bit more, it'll make me better. Or if I can just be more successful and, you know, I'll be better. Or if maybe, you know, if I, instead of having 100 likes on Facebook, if I have 200 likes, I'll be better. Amen. So, you know, it's amazing how we think. But it's very interesting because in Proverbs 22, verse number 1, watch this now. Proverbs 22, verse number 1. It says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And here comes the punch for this morning. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. This morning I want to talk to you about the favor of God and what it means to have the favor of God in your life. And the scriptures tell us that favor is greater, and you should rather desire, you should rather seek after the favor of the Lord than silver and gold and the things of this world. So many of us look here, look there, want this, want that. But let me tell you something, if you want to walk in peace, in harmony, in satisfaction, in accomplishment, if you have the hand of the Lord upon your life and His favor is on you, let me tell you something, you need nothing else. Amen. Many people think that, you know, if I just have a little bit more, if I just have a different wife or if I have a different husband, it'll be better. No, you need the favor of God on your life. Now, we're going to take a look this morning through the scriptures and see a few people that had God's favor on their lives and what the result of that favor was. And we'll break it down and then we'll take a look at what the requirement for favor is. And actually, right at the end, I'm going to explain to you what favor really is. Is that okay, guys? So as I said to the morning crowd, the first crowd this morning, I'm going to stop asking you if you're okay, and I'm just going to tell you that I'm okay. Okay, so if you hear me say I'm okay, it's because I'm wanting to know if you're okay, because, you know, amen. So I'm okay, guys, amen. Okay, all right. Genesis 18, verse number 1. Then the Lord appeared to him by the Tebenath trees of Mamre, this is to Abraham, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. And we know scripturally, we know the story that those three angels, those three beings that were there, they stayed with Abraham and actually had a meal with him. And so we see that the hand of the Lord and the favor of God was clearly on his life. And in fact, God makes Abraham the father of nations. Amen. And even now, we believe in the promises that were given to Abraham, that they are our promises as well. Amen. Because we too are the seed of Abraham. Now, I just want to show you how powerful it is to have God's favor on your life. I mean, that's pretty powerful. That someone would be told to look up to the sky and see what your descendants will look like. Look at the floor and try and count the sand. Your descendants will be greater than all of this. That's favor. Amen. We all know Lot so very well. And even though some people may think Lot was really good, I think he was really bad. But let's go to Genesis 19:17-20. And regardless of that, I want to show you what favor on someone's life can do. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside. So basically the angels had taken Lot and his family outside of Sodom, and the place was about to be destroyed. And this is what happened. That he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." This is what the angel is saying to Lot. Then Lot said to them, "Please, no, my lords. Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die." And he said to him, "See, I have favored you." There it is. "Concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken." And that's so powerful to think that one man's favor, that a favor on one man's life has the potential to actually save an entire city. God was going to wipe that city out. But because favor was on Lot, Lot said, "Lord, I want to go there. And when I go there, please protect the city." So God responds by saying, "I will protect that entire city because of you." You underestimate what's inside you. You underestimate the gift of God that is placed on the inside of you. That's the problem with us as believers. We don't know that the kingdom of God is not over there. Oh, it's not over there. It's on the inside of you. And when God's favor is on you, when you walk into a place, the kingdom walks in with you. When you walk into a city, that whole city can change because of what's inside you, not because of you. Don't forget that now. It's not because of you. It's because of what's in you. No, it's not you. It's what's in you. It's greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And let me tell you something. You go to the battle without the he that's in you, and you'll find out how short you come. Amen. But to think that with the favor of God on your life, you can actually save an entire city. That's powerful. You can't say it's not possible. It happened in the Old Testament in a less dispensation than the one we have right now. Amen. Amen. Let's go to 1 Samuel 16, verse number 22. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." You see, when God's hand is upon you, he will not only give you favor with himself, but he will also give you favor with man, and he will place you in positions where you will have influence and be around kings. Amen. Listen, when God's favor is on you, doors begin to open and you don't understand why. When God's favor is on you, you don't really know what's happening next, what's about to take place and how it's going to happen, but the doors just somehow go open. For some reason, there's just this supernatural favor that's taking place and you don't quite understand where it comes from or how it happens. And let me tell you, that is called the favor of God on your life. I know how that feels. And I'm telling you this because I want to explain to you that I am just the same as you. We are all exactly the same. But I seek God. And I remember when the Lord spoke to me about planting this church, I didn't know what to expect. And we were struggling specifically to find the right premises. We didn't know where we were going to go. And I was petrified. The Lord clearly spoke to me, gave me a date that He wanted me to start the church. It was 2 weeks. 2.5 weeks till that Sunday. And I went to on a conference and a man randomly comes up to me. I went to the restroom and he was waiting outside the restroom for me. And I came out of the restroom and he came to me and he said, "I have to tell you something." And I said, "Sure, you know, go ahead." And thinking this guy's flaky. But he says, "Your bags have already been packed. You've left the place that you were at. You've left your house." He says, "And the keys for where you are going are in your hand, and everything has been prepared for you." And I thought to myself, wow, but what does this mean, Lord? I didn't even think at the moment about the church building. The very next day, it was either the Saturday or the Sunday, but that Monday, we were sitting at the office, and Mike was there, he can testify to this. And because of a vision that I had, I began to look for a place to rent that had property, thinking, here I am. I have no church. I know nobody. I don't know where to start. But in my vision, I saw property. So I looked in the listings for a property so that we could rent a property for the church. There was only one listed property online. I phoned the agent. And the agent said to me, he said, "What are you looking for?" And very reluctantly, I said, "Well, I want to plant a church." So he just goes quiet. He says, "Well, this isn't going to work. What are you looking for?" I said, "I want to be between US 1 and 20th Street. I want to be close to that area." All of a sudden, it goes a little quiet on the other side of the phone. "Tell me what you really would like." I said, "Well, I'd like a sanctuary, a church, a place where we can have service. I'd like a place where there's children's rooms, where there's a lobby, you know, where we can have some parking and, you know, a place that, you know, will work for a church." He just goes dead quiet. He says to me, "Well," he says, "we've just got a property." I don't even know for sure whether they had the property listed yet, because he had to make a phone call before he could even say anything to me. He makes the phone call. He phones me back. He says, "I want to show you something." I said, "What?" He says, "I can't tell you. You need to come see it." So I drive down here. And I get here and we walk into the building. There was about four of us. And we walked in here. And I remember walking through this door and I saw carpet and a sound booth. And I walked into the back. I walked in through there, saw rooms for children's rooms, walked into the lobby, and there was a lobby. But understand, in my mind, I'm not thinking about the prophecy. It's not even in my mind at this moment. And I remember walking back into here, and when I got to about this point, I heard God say to me, "Remember the prophecy." And I just began to weep, because all I could think about and all I could say is, "This doesn't happen. This doesn't happen." That's called favor. That's called God's favor. Now understand, this is for everyone. And I'll explain to you a little bit later on how this is for every single one of you. It's not just for the pastor. Amen. It's for every single one of you. And you'll understand why in a little bit. So now I think the battle's over. We found the premises. I'm all excited. I'm ready to go all the way home. I could just keep saying, "This doesn't happen. This can't happen. This is amazing." And I'm crying and weeping. And so we phone the landlord. And she says she doesn't want another church. "How big is your congregation?" "I don't have one." "How long have you been going?" "I haven't been going. I worked in another ministry, served in another ministry." And she'd had a bad experience. She did not want a church here. So I went and began to pray. I went and began to seek God. Now, what you may not understand is up until this point, I'd already sold my house. I had already planned on moving here with, and everything I was going to do here, I was going to take the money that I sold my house with to start this church. I moved into my dad's apartment, and the money that I had was what we started this church with. So I begin to pray and I ask God, please, Lord, I know this is the place. The keys are in my hand. The place is perfect. All we have to do is paint. And God turned her heart. Why? Because God gave me favor, not only with him, but also with man. Amen. So God will give you favor with himself, and he will give you favor with man as well. God can change a man's heart. Let me tell you, it wasn't a few days ago that I go down to the commissioner's office. I walk in there and I go and speak to one of the people in charge of our permit. And it's quite a sensitive situation. And we go into the back and he stands in front of me and he says, it's going to take at least a week, you know. And I said to him, sir, I said, I understand your protocol and I understand this. I said, but please, just please, sir. You know, I turned around and I just said, oh God, I said, please just do something in this man's heart that you can give us favor. The very next day, the permits were all approved. Every single one of them were approved. That's called favor. That's called God's favor on your life. Amen. And let me tell you something. I am telling you about the good things. Oh, there's roadblocks. There are times it doesn't look like it's working out. And it's in those moments that you must hold on. It's in those moments where you think it's about to end. It's so bad. The pressure is so much on you. And you're at that point where you think, maybe I've just completely lost it. Maybe I've just completely missed it. It's in that moment, at that time, if you just keep with him, if you just stay with him, if you just keep believing, then all of a sudden the breakthrough comes. Because his favor is on your life. Amen. Amen. We struggle so much to be satisfied as human beings. We struggle so much. And as I said earlier, we want this and we seek finances and we want, and those things are not bad. But let me show you in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 33, verse 23, watch this. And of Naphtali, he said, one of the tribes of Israel. O Naphtali, satisfied with favor, and full of the blessing of the Lord, possesses the west and the south. The thing that will satisfy you is God's favor on your life. When you have his favor upon you, his hand upon you, his favor is on you, you will be satisfied like Naphtali was. I just want to show you, I want to just share with you how powerful, how wonderful God is. After the service this morning, a lady came up to me and she was quite emotional and she said to me, Pastor, she said, this morning's message was for me. She said, I'm actually of the tribe of Naphtali. And she shared some stuff with me. And I was amazed because the whole service I was watching and I could see that God was busy with her, but I didn't have words. I didn't have the word for her, but I knew God was busy doing something. And when she came afterwards, I was just so incredibly amazed at God. What are the odds of some lady randomly showing up here on a Sunday morning and I'm preaching about the tribe of Naphtali and she's sitting here? Don't tell me when God has his hand on you, when his favor is upon you, that he can't do something supernatural, something incredible. Listen, he knows you by name. Every hair on your head, you matter to him. Amen. It's time that we realize this, though. It's time that we realize it. 1 Samuel 27, verse number 5. Then David said to Achish, if I have now found favor in your eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you? What you may not understand is Achish is the king of Gath, who is a Philistine. And he wants David to come stay in the palace with him. Listen, when God's hand of favor is on your life, he will even give you favor with your enemies. He will even give you favor with your enemies. Now, some people in this room might be going, oh, this is all in the Word, and everything that happens in the Old Testament is an example for us for what will and can and should be taking place in our own lives. Amen. The problem is not inside, it's on top. Last week it was the other way around. It's our minds. We don't get our minds to transform. We don't get our minds to believe what this Word actually says. And to believe the truth, the power of the Word of God. It is living and breathing and transforming. And it's so awesome. It is so amazing. Amen. So God's favor will not only give you favor with man and favor with himself, but also even favor with your enemies. It's incredible because God gave favor to a queen. Watch this. Esther 2 verse 17. The king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight, more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. If you read and study the story of Esther, you'll find out that because of the favor that she had and became queen, she was able to soften the king's heart and save an entire nation. God's favor on your life will give you the potential and the ability to save lives, to touch lives, to heal lives, to deliver lives. God's favor gives you and puts you in places that you shouldn't be. You have no right to be there, but for some reason, there's a crown on your head. You're placed around people of influence, and all of a sudden, you get given an opportunity to speak, and you end up saving and touching people's lives, all because of the favor of God on your life. You can do great things. Things that are beyond what you would ever imagine because of the favor of God on your life. Luke 1 verse number 30 says, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. God chose Mary to do a great work by bringing the Christ into this world. Why? Because she had favor. God will use you to do great things on this planet. He'll put you in places and give you opportunity to touch people's lives because the favor of God is there. You just have to take it. Amen. You just have to say, yes, Lord. Send me, Lord. Choose me, Lord. Pick me, Lord. I'll never forget one day I stood in front of a lady and I was prophesying over her. She actually asked me to prophesy over her. I was very young in the Lord. Hadn't done much prophesying. And I was standing in front of her. I don't know why I'm telling the story. I was standing in front of her. And while I was standing in front of her, I saw her in the spirit jumping up and down. Jumping. And she had her hand and saying, pick me, Lord. Use me, Lord. That's how we all should be. We should all be like that. We should all have that desire. We should all be one to be sent. We should all be one to be used. But the problem with us is we're so indulged and we're so overwhelmed and we're so focused on our own problems and our own issues and our own heart and our own this and our own that, because that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to focus on that. And what you don't realize is that you already have his favor on you. Why? Because you are washed in the blood of Jesus. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. You already are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. But what's wrong with us? Why don't we see it? It's because we don't seek the kingdom. We don't seek His righteousness. It's because we lose focus. We focus on everything else. And I went ahead of the sermon then. That's okay. Amen. Amen. I'm okay, guys. The question is, how do we get favor? Well, I'm going to show you a few things. Favor can be found and favor can be obtained. But watch now. Proverbs 12, verse number 2 says this. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions, he will be condemned. That shows you once again, it really comes down to the position of your heart. Amen? A good man, a man with a good heart. Really, that's what it's speaking of. Proverbs 8, verse number 35. This proverb is a proverb about wisdom. I don't want to read the whole proverb to you. But when he says in Proverbs 35, for whoever finds me finds life, speaking of wisdom, and obtains favor from the Lord. So we know that wisdom will also bring God's favor on our lives. Can you say amen? God will give you favor with Him and He will give you favor with man as well. Proverbs 3 verse 3 to 4. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and of man. Of God and of man. Let me tell you something. Every single one of us in this room needs favor, not only with the Most High, but also favor down here. Oh, I don't need anything from anybody. I just need the Lord. I hear you. But let me show you something really quickly. It says in 1 Samuel 2, verse 26, and the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor, both with the Lord and with men. Let me show you something else, if that's not good enough. Luke 2, verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. Listen, if God Himself needed to have favor with Himself and with man, so do you. You also need favor with man. You see, God will place you in positions with people around you who you're going to need to have favor with. He's going to place you in positions where He can use you, where He needs to use your business, where He needs to use your skills. He's going to place you in positions where you will not only have favor with Him, but you'll all of a sudden have supernatural favor with people around you like you never thought possible. I'm okay. Amen. Amen. Favor with God and favor with man. I don't know about you, but if you have a job, you need favor with your boss. Amen. You need favor in that business deal. Yes, God's the one who provides the favor, but man needs to be used to give you that favor. Is that okay? So we want favor both with God and with man. And when the favor of the Lord is on you, it's yours. Now, who does God give favor to? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this morning. It's so funny, the Bible school students all teased me with that. They all did their sermon when they did their sermon to me. Because I say that every now and then. Psalm 5, verse number 12. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with what? With favor. Now watch this, because it's so beautiful. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. When God's favor is on your life, you are protected, you are surrounded, you are covered, you are hidden. But it requires righteousness in order for you to get that favor, I've got such good news for you this morning. Are you saved? Then you're righteous. What must I do to be made righteous? To be made righteous, I must give my life to Him. I must serve Him. I must love Him. I must commit my heart to Him. Because the reality is that in order to get the righteousness of Christ in your life, there is nothing you can do to earn that. So you are made righteous because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. But don't ignore the scripture that says that you must seek the kingdom and His righteousness. I'm made righteous does not mean I must sit on the steps and wait for everything to arrive. My dad always says something very powerful. He says that God will give you the wind, but you must hoist your own sails. The fact is, positionally, you already have it. The righteousness is yours. It's there. The favor is available to you. But if you're just going to stand around and wait for things to happen, you're going to get older and older every day. And one day you're going to die and realize you missed out on everything God had for you because you did not seek the righteousness as well. You see, there's a seeking as well. There's a longing. There's a desire as a believer that we all have inside of us. Whether you like it or not, it's there. It's there because He put it in you. That's why He says, seek first the kingdom. In other words, seek first my power. Seek first dominion. Seek first the rule of my kingdom. Seek that and the righteousness that I've already given you. Seek to be like that. Seek to walk like that. And then everything you need will be placed in front of you. You see, it's the righteous path that gets made straight. Everything you need, not the pastor, not the prophet, not the king. It says that these signs will follow those who believe. In other words, every single one of you have been made righteous, have been put positionally exactly where you need to do. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to ignore the lady at the register when God's pulling on your heart saying, speak to her? Are you going to ignore the lady in your school when she sits next to you at lunch and God says, speak to her? What you don't understand is you carry the kingdom inside you. His righteousness is upon you. Don't worry about what she does with it as long as you know what you do with it. Come on, somebody. Now here's the punch. The Greek word for favor is the word charis, which actually means grace. Grace, grace, how sweet is that sound? Sounds of grace. He's paid it all. It's paid in full. Everything is available for you. But just like the weapons of the warfare, of your warfare, just like the armor of God, you must put it on. You must take it. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's available. Now you can take it. It's inside you. You can use it. You can operate with it. It's a part of you. And so is this grace that is so sufficient for us. We must share it. It must be tangible. You must speak about the goodness of God in your life. It's by the word, but it's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Listen, it doesn't say His testimony. It says your testimony. You have a story. God has put something in you. You have a journey. You have stuff to share. There's things in you that must come out. They must be released on this earth. They must be done. There's a sound inside you that must come out. There's a sound. There's a grace. There's an anointing inside you that must be released on this planet. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this morning, in this place, we thank you for grace. For your grace is sufficient for us. Grace, grace, grace. And I hear how you speak to your people and you say to your people, do you not know that the blood that was spilt is sufficient for you? For the enemy desires to point the finger at you and cripple you with condemnation. For so many of you, for far too long, you have said, but God, I did this, but God, I was so bad, but God, I can't. And the Lord says, I will strike down that enemy this morning in this place. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you, says the Lord. And Father, I pray this morning that we will realize that everything we need is already inside us. All we have to do is give our lives to you and then take you by the hand and begin to walk with you. Begin to walk with you, and you will show us, as your word says, things to come. You will tell us what to say. You will bring to remembrance those things that you have taught us. Thank you, Lord. This morning in this place, all condemnation and guilt and shame must leave right now. For you have been made innocent because of the blood of Jesus. All you have to do is cry out to him and say, I believe. Forgive me. Wash me in your blood. Make me whole. Make me new. Renew me. Strengthen me, Lord. I want to walk with you all the days of my life. Help me to focus on you and not this world. For surely your kingdom is within me. Your kingdom is within me. Father, I thank you so much. Lord, there's no words to express how we value your presence. For surely right now, in this place, you are here. Your presence is so tangible right now. And Father, I pray that you will do what you do best. Holy Spirit, just go now into this crowd and touch the hearts of every person. Touch those that need to be touched. Touch those that need a healing in their heart, Lord. Those that have a broken heart. Those that need to commit their lives to you. Touch them now. Speak to them now. You do it best. I don't need to say anything. Because you're working now already. You're moving now already. And I thank you for it. I thank you for it. I thank you for grace, for favor that's on our lives, Lord. And there is none like you. There is none like you. If you've come into this place this morning and you say, Pastor Alex, I need to give my life to Jesus. Without giving your life to him, you cannot have grace. You cannot have favor. If that's you and you say, this is the day I need to commit my heart to him. I need to commit my life to him. I need to make my life right with him today. If that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you. Just lift your hand. I want to pray for you. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you in the back. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. I see you in the front here. God bless you. Anybody else say, include me, Pastor, in that prayer. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Anybody else say, I want that grace. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. Your life is going to change, ma'am. You know exactly who you are I'm talking to. Yes, you're nodding your head. Your life is going to change. Things will change. There's been a rockiness all around you. A rockiness. I see abuse and I see all kinds of things that happened around you. Your children, everyone was affected. But God says things are going to change for you. Things are going to change for you. Can we all stand this morning and pray this prayer together? every one of us, let's pray this prayer together. Let's say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Forgive me for my sins. Make me whole. Make me new. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that and you believe it, your name is now written in His Book of Life, and all things have been made new. It's a new start. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place this morning. If you have a desire, before I close, if you have a desire, speak to Him. His presence is here. In His glory is fullness of joy. In His presence is fullness of joy. In His glory, anything can happen. His presence is here. Just speak to Him right now where you are. You don't have to say it now. Just speak to Him. Just for a minute. Just say whatever you need to say to Him. His presence is here. Father, we thank you this morning that you never change, that all things will pass away, but you will remain. Your kingdom will stand. Your word will be untouched, everlasting. And so I pray this morning for every precious person that has committed their lives to you, Lord, let them never be the same again. And for every other person that is here, every one of us, Lord, we thank you that you are in this place, that you are touching our lives, that you're with us. Father, I pray that the yoke will be broken and lifted now of every individual. And as they leave here this morning, they will go and the burden will be light. The yoke will be broken. And Father, I thank you for your peace and for your love, for your goodness and your mercy, for there is none like you. Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion with the Spirit go and be with every single one of you as you leave here today. Never the same because of His blood. Never the same because of His grace. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. And we will see you tonight. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. We hope that this message has inspired you in so many ways. If you would like to support our ministry, or if you would like more messages, you can find that at www.oceansunite.com. Once again, we are so excited to have you as a part of the family. Have a wonderful day.